Well, good morning, everyone. So good to be here with you again this morning and to be able to bow our hearts before the Lord and pray and also look at another prayer in the Bible. So let's do begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather again in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you that you invite us to come boldly to the throne of grace in order that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Lord, we thank you for the Sermon on the Mount preached by our precious Lord and Savior while he was here on earth with us. And in chapter 6, we are given a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, this model prayer. And so, Lord, as we look at this morning, reveal all that you would have for us to receive from this prayer, Lord, and guide us by your Spirit and teach us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, it begins in chapter 5 of the Beatitudes, and then Jesus talks about some of the things that we're to do. We're to be salt and light, and he indicates in verse 17 and following verses that he came to fulfill the law. And he talks about the murder beginning in the heart and adultery in the heart. It's no longer just the physical actions that were under the law, but now it's the motives in our hearts as well. And then he touched on the sacredness and the binding of marriage, on forbidding oaths and going the second mile and loving your enemies. Do good to please God. And then we get into the prayer section, and we begin in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. In other words, pray in private, not to be seen by other people. Go into your room and shut your door. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And then vain repetitions in verse 7. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that their many words will be heard because of that repetition. No, our Lord knows everything we need, and he knows what we're going to ask him before we open our mouths. So we don't have to give him all these minute details over and over and over again, do we? But then in verse 9, he gets right to it, and he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. So here is the way. This prayer is a perfect prayer to pray with understanding and with sincerity and just word by word, but it's also, I believe, given to us as a model to not necessarily follow word by word, but to follow the model of the prayer. And we see the first thing here is the address. Who are we praying to? And it's awesome because Jesus introduced a new concept to the disciples at this point. He says, our Father. That would have never been used before by the Jews. They were thought that would be much too of a kind of a casual, intimate kind of a thing to say to God. In fact, they had God so revered they wouldn't even spell his name or say his name, but G-D, you know. And so here it's our Father, but it means so much to us as the bride of Christ because we have one Father, our Father, and we're not just praying selfishly here, my Father. We're praying as one of the body of Christ, in a sense, our Father. And then what Father is it? Is it the one here on earth? No, in heaven, our Father in heaven. And then we move right into the first two petitions are not for us. It's not give me, give me, give me like so many of my prayers are. But we go right into praying for the Father. The very first petition is hallowed be your name, or your name shall be holy here on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed, set apart is your name. May we revere your name. May we fear your name, Lord, with reverent fear. Second petition, then, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, obviously, the kingdom of heaven has already come. And in a sense, it's come on earth with the first coming of Jesus. But the work wasn't completed then yet as far as taking out the bride of Christ. That has been occurring the last couple of thousand years, approximately. Christ came the first time to save the world. He's coming the second time to judge the world. And so when he comes, he'll bring the kingdom, will come here on earth as it is in heaven, and his will be done here on earth as it presently is being done in heaven. It certainly isn't being done here on earth at the present time, because the world here really is given over to Satan at this moment. But he's coming soon, and there will be peace. And that's the same thing we pray, you know, of course, in Psalm 122, verse 6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When will the peace of Jerusalem occur? When the Messiah comes, and not before. So that's the second petition. Now we get into the third, fourth, and fifth petitions, and we're going to have petitions for ourselves. And notice the three areas that he says, that he specifically points out to pray for. The first one is our daily needs. He says, give us this day our daily bread. And notice every word there really in this prayer is so significant, but our daily bread. Not our monthly bread or our biannual bread or our annual bread, but day by day. You know, you can remember in the wilderness march, when the children of Israel for 40 years had to go out and collect the manna every day. It wouldn't last for more than the next, it wouldn't last overnight. And except a miracle every Friday, then you'd only collect it on Friday, and they would not collect it on the Shabbat, which was Saturday. So there it would last 2 days, where the other times it would not. But it was daily. They had to go out and get it every day, and they had to get their own. They couldn't go out and have somebody else get it for them. They had to get it themselves, and I think that's such an important thing. But we need to pray for our daily needs. Now, in this land, United States, a land of obesity and so forth, praying for one good meal a day doesn't seem to fit us too well, most of us anyway. But you know, most of the world, I think about 60% of the world, is really praying just to get one decent meal, one meal of sustenance enough to keep them alive each day. So this prayer is very real in so much of the world at this very time. And then secondly, notice, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Right after our daily need for sustenance is the need for forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness. You know, the context of a prayer in the Bible is very important. What's ahead of the prayer and what follows the prayer. And we talked a little bit here about what preceded the prayer, and that was all the guidelines under the Sermon on the Mount. But now after the prayer, there's only one petition that will be repeated, and that is this one right here. Forgive us as we forgive others. The forgiveness issue, so important. So if you don't get anything else out of the study this morning, remember what the model prayer tells us, what Jesus tells us about the importance of forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, it really means our sins, our trespasses, our hurting, what we do to hurt others, as we forgive those who hurt us. In other words, that we forgive our debtors. And then, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I don't really like that that lead us into temptation really well. I think I like Vernon McGee's translation here. He said, do not leave us in temptation. You know, we're all tempted, but we don't want to stay in it. We don't want to let it grow. We don't let it develop. We want to get out of it. And so that's the prayer. Don't leave us in temptation, but get us out of it and deliver us from the evil one. You know, the three enemies we have as a believer, of course, we have the devil and the workers of iniquity. They hate us. They want to destroy us. We have the world, which is right now in rebellion against Christ, so it hates us, hates Christians, hated our Lord, killed him, crucified him. And then the third thing is our flesh. Our flesh is at enmity against the Spirit, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. So these are the three things then that give us the trouble here in our world, and we're not to be in temptation, but we should pray to get out of the temptation and to be delivered from the evil one. And then the final one is back to him again. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Yes, only to you, Lord, does the kingdom and the power and the glory forever really apply. But we're part of that, aren't we? Because we've been adopted in as children of God and heirs to the kingdom. So in a sense, it's not only yours is the kingdom, but eventually when we're with the Lord, it'll be ours as well. So yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and then amen, amen. So that is the model prayer. Now, we want to just look just a moment at the next two verses, as I had mentioned just a couple of minutes ago. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I find those two verses very interesting, that they would be related to forgiveness, and that's the one issue that Jesus emphasizes doubly here, forgiveness. And I think that's because we have a tough time with forgiveness. We have a hard time forgiving, don't we? Because it comes right in the face of our pride and our arrogance and our selfishness. And we say, I've got my rights, in a sense. That's what the secular world is screaming right now so much in this country. I've got my rights. I've got my rights. No, we're to be dead to self, really. But here, we're to forgive. And notice the consequences if we don't. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What does that really mean? Well, it means to me that you're not saved if you can't forgive others. Because if I can't forgive others, this says my Father will not forgive my sins. I've got a death warrant because of my sin. And the only way that that will not occur is if I plead the blood of the Lamb and believe and know that Jesus Christ paid the price that I would not have to die. So the price is paid. But if I don't forgive others, if I can't forgive others, if I won't forgive others, I really haven't accepted, I really haven't received that gift. Because look what our Lord did for us. He gave it all for us, totally innocent, but paid the price. So he has forgiven us, forgiven me so much. Now, if he's forgiven me all of this, and I've really accepted, and I really believe it, and I really know it, then I turn around and won't forgive somebody else for some little thing? That's not the child of God, is it? That's just still a child of Satan, still a child of the world. So pray for forgiveness. I think in every prayer, we want to pray for confession, repentance, with confession, repentance of sin. I think in every prayer, we want to include the faithfulness of God. As much time as you have, maybe through the ages or certainly in your lifetime. And then I think we want to pray for forgiving hearts, to be enabled to forgive. So this is the model prayer. Great, great, great model prayer, as Jesus is always the greatest teacher of all. So may we remember every time we pray this prayer, we're so very familiar with the words, but may we not just pray them as words, may we pray them with these thoughts in mind, as what are we really praying here? To our Father who art in heaven, and hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then our needs, our daily needs, our needs for forgiveness, and finally, then we need to pray that we be delivered from the evil one and not left or led into temptation. And then closing again with, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this little study on your model prayer. And may we include it always within our prayer life, Lord, as you taught us to pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. Let's go to prayer now.